It's That's What They Say on Michigan Public.
There are lots of cards that we can still play now, but we've lost some good cards too.
That's What They Say. I'm Rebecca Hector, and joining us now is University of Michigan English Professor Emerita Ann Curzan. Hi, Ann.
Hello, hello.
This week, we have a question from Barb. Barb apparently has a young grandson who is a very funny, clever character. Barb says, "My mother, who was born in 1922, would have smilingly said about him, 'He's a card.' Where does that expression come from?" You know, Ann, I use this expression sometimes, and I too would like to know where it comes from.
I'm not sure I can use this. I certainly know what it means. And Barb, thank you for the question, because this turned out to be quite an interesting thing to look up, because we talk about cards in all kinds of ways. And there are some, Rebecca, I'm hoping that you and I can revive. So by the 1500s, we see figurative uses of card coming out of card games. And it's used to refer to a person or a thing that has a particular quality and is helpful in meeting a goal. For example, a leading card, which in a card game would be the card you use to lead a round or a trick, and then figuratively comes to mean a strong point in your case. That's my leading card, what I'm going to start with. Here's one I did not know before, a cooling card.
A cooling card?
And this is something that lessens a person's enthusiasm.
Oh, could you describe a person who's kind of a wet blanket also as a cooling card in a situation?
I think you could. Absolutely. So I'm hoping we can start using that one. We then have expressions like playing one's best card or playing one's only card. I will say that, like, this is my only card.
It's the only card I have, yeah.
And then, of course, there is the trump card. And that goes back to the 1820s. And the trump there is actually a shortening coming out of triumph. Now, Rebecca, we need to talk about the expression to play the blank card. It goes back to the late 1800s, and some of the early examples were to play the patriotic card or the land purchase card or playing the orange card, which referred in the late 19th century to appealing to Northern Irish Ulster Unionists. And so to play the blank card is to introduce a topic in hopes of gaining sympathy or political advantage. And then you start to see it being used to refer to one's own membership in a group. By the 1970s, we have play the race card. We then get play the woman card, play the gender card. And that now is often used disparagingly.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the dark part of this.
Yeah. But we should come back to Barb's question. Since we've gone off to this other place. By the 1830s, we have examples of using card to refer to someone who exemplifies a particular quality. So a knowing card or, and Rebecca, I like this one, a sure card, which is someone you can depend on.
Oh, somebody you can rely on. That's great.
I think we should use that one. Another one we might be able to revive. You could have a romantic card, an ungrateful card. And then by the 1850s, we have examples of a card being used to refer to someone who is clever or ingenious. And at some point, also maybe clownish, that seems to get attached to it. Perhaps we might say a character.
Like a character on a card.
Well, it's not the Joker, because the evidence we have for a card being a funny person predates the Joker being introduced into the card deck. But the expression, a character, to refer to someone who is extraordinary or maybe eccentric, we've got that by the late 1700s.
Well, Anne, I always appreciate it when you play your linguist card. And I mean that in the best possible way. Thanks so much.
Always happy to play my cards.
Anne Curzan is an English professor emerita at the University of Michigan and the author of Says Who, a kinder, funner usage guide for everyone who cares about words. We look at the evolution of language Friday afternoons at 4:45 and Sunday mornings at 9:35 here on Michigan Public. You can also subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've got a language question for us, email us at language@michiganpublic.org.